On SD Podcast today, we speak with Denton Callender, a research scientist in the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales in Australia. He's the primary author of a study on enhanced syphilis screening in the HIV care setting that was published this month in the Real World of STD Prevention rubric of the journal Sexually Transmitted Diseases. Welcome to the podcast, Denton.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So could you first give us some background to the study? What was the setting of the study and what was the intervention?
Well, the intervention took place at a general practice clinic in inner city Sydney. And this particular clinic sees a very high proportion of men who have sex with men and also a large client base of people living with HIV. And the intervention that we were looking at was an attempt to increase syphilis testing by including it as a standard part of HIV management care for those patients. So for this clinic's electronic pathology request system, there's a battery of tests that get automatically requested every time someone comes in for an HIV management checkup. And all that this clinic did was a one-time modification to that system that included syphilis screening as a part of those tests.
So it was fully integrated into their standard of care, sort of automatically happened as these patients came into the doctor's office.
Yeah, so that's why we would call it, you know, an opt-out based program. If patients didn't want screening, the doctors were clearly discussing it with their patients, but it was just a one-time change to create this sort of type of automated system.
And this started when, in 2006, is that correct?
Yeah, midway through 2006.
Okay, and so your evaluation went through 2011, so it's about 4 or 5 years worth of data?
Yeah, we collected retrospective laboratory data from 2005 through 2010, and then we looked at changes between 2005 and 2007 primarily.
I see. So what were your primary findings?
Well, using those data, we generated a few indicators, one of which was syphilis testing, or the average number of syphilis tests conducted amongst male patients with HIV every year. Prior to, in 2005, the year prior to the intervention, I think it was somewhere around 1.14, the average number of syphilis tests per patient per year. And then in 2007, which was the first full year of having the intervention, we saw that number jump to 2.32 at a significant level. And then we used the data from 2008 through to 2010 as a way to assess sustainability. And we saw that that number was sustained at a similarly high level over the coming years. So that was the primary finding.
So let's back up a little bit, because I assume there are certain guidelines in Australia about syphilis testing and STI testing for patients with HIV or for men who have sex with men. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Just give us a little bit of a background here.
Yeah, so in Australia, those guidelines are set by what's called the STI in Gay Men's Action Group, and they meet every 4 or 5 years to review the guidelines and make recommendations for sexual health testing in this population. And about 2005, 2006, that version of the guidelines began to recommend quarterly syphilis testing among gay men living with HIV, so 3 or more syphilis tests a year, which is what this intervention was meant to address, or reach, rather, that target.
I understand. So besides syphilis, are there also recommendations for gonorrhea, chlamydia testing, other types of STIs?
Yeah, I mean, the guidelines go across gay men, not just those living with HIV. So other things would be like men assessed as high risk. It would be 2 full STI and HIV screens annually. Yeah, there are other things like about retesting following a positive diagnosis and stuff like that.
So just to paraphrase what you were saying earlier, as a result of your intervention, there was a striking increase in the number of HIV-infected men that tested for syphilis and as a total, but the screening frequency also increased. Still, you're right, you didn't quite reach your target of quarterly testing. What do you think were the barriers for even more frequent testing than what you found?
Well, I'm not sure I would necessarily describe it as a barrier, but I mean, this whole intervention is based around the idea of connecting syphilis screening to HIV management checkups. Uh-huh. And more generally, as I'm sure you're aware, the recommendations for HIV management checks, things like CD4 cell count and viral load tests, have been evolving over the past 10 years And where they may have previously recommended 3 or 4 month intervals between things like viral load tests, that may now be 6 months or greater, depending on the individual patient's HIV condition. So by marrying syphilis testing to those checks, as you might expect, they become closely related. So for a lot of the patients who were included in our sample, they were really only coming in 2 times a year to get their HIV management checkup. So as you would expect, they would only be then getting 2 syphilis tests a year from this doctor. So we did say that we didn't meet the best practice testing target, and that probably other interventions working with this one would be needed to do so.
Right. Well, just to compare it with the situation here in the US, where our Centers for Disease Control and Prevention actually have a generally lower standard of just screening once a year and more frequently based on ongoing risk factors. Most of us here in our clinics in the field really think that if you get them to come in once every 6 months, that's probably already a pretty good result. So maybe you set the bar a little bit too high for yourselves.
Well, I mean, that's a fair question, and I would agree with you just in some respects. Trying to get people to come in beyond what they're already doing for their regular HIV care is a tough sell, I think. But that's not to say that we shouldn't support these, gold standards that are supported by modeling and have, a lot of people have worked hard to establish what would be the best way to provide sexual health care to this population. So, I mean, one of the things we did hint at in the paper was maybe it's a time that we rethink these guidelines, what they mean, and what is feasible. But I know a lot of people feel very strongly that, as I said, it's a gold standard for what we should always be aiming for.
So some of this will ultimately depend on what the findings are, what the outcomes are. You did not provide any outcome data in your paper in terms of new syphilis cases. So I'm assuming that this information was not available to you. Do you have any kind of anecdotal information?
Well, you're right. We didn't have the test result data as part of what we collected, unfortunately. Anecdotally, we know that similar strategies, for example, down the road in Melbourne, saw huge increases in asymptomatic syphilis infection, and other strategies that have been reported on in the UK in a similar vein also saw large increases. So I don't think there's any reason to suppose that we wouldn't see a similar type of syphilis detection rate in our case. But I haven't heard anything from the clinic specifically about them noticing more detections, so I couldn't really comment on that.
Right. Do you have any future plans on where to take this? Are there other clinics that are interested or you're working with where you're trying to do something similar?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a huge fan of this particular intervention, which I didn't design, by the way. It was designed by the clinic and by the doctors working there, because I think that it's really straightforward, it's very simple, and it's virtually no cost. So those three things working together make it a, very powerful and potentially useful tool for similar clinics. So I'm always trying to, spread the message and let people know about this.
Right.
In terms of the future, actually, this particular clinic has just made another change to their system that they've moved to a different patient management system. So we're going to see how that change may have any impact on syphilis testing over the coming year.
Can you say something more about that? What do you mean?
Well, they've only just made the switch, and as I understand it, it may be more challenging to include syphilis screening as a part of this battery. So I'm not entirely sure if it's going to come out, but that's one of the things we'll be working with the clinic to try to understand how we can see this intervention carry on even with a new system in place.
And I think that's sort of been the experience in other types of clinics where you sort of introduce electronic medical records where you can build in prompts and other types of algorithms to assure that certain testing actually being offered or being done. So it seems like we're moving in those sort of more structural type of interventions where these tests
Yeah,
are being done.
and one of the other projects actually that I'm working on at the moment is doing just that. It's trying to prompt doctors to do things like offer regular syphilis testing to their patients with HIV. So, manipulating and working with computer-based systems to try to make them more efficient and try to allow them to provide more opportunities for testing for their patients.
Are there any other take-home messages from this present study?
No, I think we've covered it. I mean, like I said, for me, the real take-home message is that this simple, cost-effective, and sustainable intervention can have a very real impact. So I would seriously encourage other clinics to consider maybe not necessarily this exact same system, but a system like it as a way to improve care for their patients.
Well, thank you very much. Congratulations on your paper. Looking forward to your future work. And again, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Denton Callander is a research scientist at the Kirby Institute in the University of New South Wales in Australia. He's the first author of an article entitled Including Syphilis Testing as Part of Standard HIV Management Checks and Improved Syphilis Screening in Primary Care. The open access paper appears in this month's installment of the Real World of STD Prevention in the journal Sexually Transmitted Diseases. It's available at the journal's website, www.stdjournal.com. You can also find a link to the article in the resources section of STD Prevention online. STD Podcast is produced by Ben Westergaard for the Internet and STD Center of Excellence. This is Kees Rietmeyer for STD Prevention Online.